This episode of the Daily Observations is sponsored by ZocDoc. Find a top-rated doctor today at zocdoc.com/TDO. TV Party Tonight. That's a song. And this is the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast for Friday, the 21st of October, 2022. I am your host, Ken Ray, joined today by Nick DeCorvo, a writer at the Mac Observer. Hello, Nick.
Greetings, Ken. Great Black Flag reference.
Oh, nice. Oh, man, because you're so much younger than me, I thought I was going to have to explain. Second part of today's show, Nick and I are going to scroll through the Apple TV Plus catalog, pick out a few things that we think you should watch and tell you why we think so. Hence the TV Party Tonight. Because you know me and Nick, we got nothing better to do. Yeah, it's still the Black Flag song. First, though, Nick has written up a story on a new plan for Netflix. First of all, do we know if this is an actual plan or is this a rumored plan? Run people, if you would, through the story you've written up for the Mac Observer.
Yeah, so Netflix, it is an official plan. Netflix released a press release on the 17th. So on the 17th, Netflix began notifying users that a new profile transfer feature is now available for users. Netflix claims that it's a much requested feature. But what it does is that anybody using somebody else's account, say you are password sharing with a friend, Your friend is now able to easily transfer all of their profile settings, their recommendations, and whatnot. They're able to transfer all of these settings to a brand new account. And what makes it fascinating is that while Netflix is touting it as a feature, some critics are observing that it is likely more of a way for Netflix to try and curb password sharing. So within my favorite statistic from covering this article comes from MarketWatch, in which they note that at the time of this research, Netflix had roughly 222 million paying subscribers, but at the same time, they had 100 million households that were accessing the service through password sharing. So almost half of their audience was receiving the service through password sharing. What makes it more interesting, too, is that critics are determining that after Netflix's recent reveal that they are suffering year-over-year losses is when they have decided to announce that this new profile sharing is now coming to Netflix.
So is the thinking slash concern that they're going to find a way to stop people from sharing?
So they are looking into other ways to crack down on it more harshly. For example, in Chile, Peru, and Costa Rica, Netflix is now trying out a new feature where it is tying the primary user's IP address to their account. They were attempting to try and make it so that it was based on geographical location, but they were finding that this was prohibiting primary account users from being able to access their own Netflix account outside of their own home.
Right.
So now they're attempting to make it so that the primary user has access through their IP. It seems like a relatively passive-aggressive way to get users to buy their own Netflix account. It seems like a passive way for Netflix to say, hey, please stop password sharing. You're hurting our bottom line.
Right. It's kind of interesting. I will say, when I first heard about this, it didn't sound that bad to me. And I'll just do a very personal reason for that. When I had a relationship of about 10 years and she had to go out and, you know, start her whole new Netflix thing. And that meant rebuilding her playlist or her wish list or whatever. And all of her recommendations and everything like that was gone because it was my account. And so it came with me and there was no way to transfer that out. 6 years after that, I'm now in a family of three other people who have their own, you know, watch history and queue and all that stuff built up. And so I ended up having to ditch my account. Now, I know what Netflix is talking about is, hey, break your account off into its own thing. I remember, and this is crazy, I remember this, but it's because it was my job at the time. AOL actually did the same thing, where if you had an AOL account and you gave your friend like a guest sign-on on the AOL account, so it was one of your sub-names, you could then break that out. So like your kid goes off to college or, you know, that friend who's been freeloading on your AOL account, you can give them their own. This isn't a new thing. It's a new thing for Netflix. What I wish is I could take my paid account and then put all of my information into somebody else's paid account. But, you know, that's because I would want to save money. And, of course, so does Netflix.
Right. Profile combining.
Yeah. I would imagine it'll be a few years before they do that, if ever.
Right. Yeah, I definitely see how that could be a beneficial purpose. Mm-hmm. Also, it's funny that you brought up AOL, because my instant thought was, what, nobody can find an old CD with 8,000 minutes still available?
Oh, dude, it got up to 1,000 hours. It was 1,000 hours of free internet, which you really couldn't, I don't think, could use all the way through.
So while writing this article, I couldn't think of the insurance company that did this. But not that they're totally the same thing, but they're kind of in the same markets, I suppose, where they're both selling this service. Well, people can share insurance policies the same way you can share a Netflix account. Obviously, you still have to pay for your insurance policy, but you get a discount when you're under somebody's plan, or if you're on your parents' plan, I should say. So there was an insurance commercial where it was an adult dressed like a child on a plane, and he was acting up. And so the insurance commercial said then, like, you wouldn't act like a child on a plane. Why are you acting like a child with your insurance? Get your own plan. So,
wow. Trying to shame people into spending money they don't have to.
Right. Yeah. Outright bullying.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. I'll tell you. So you want to do a better example of one? Apple Card. Because Apple Card, of course, has that thing where you can add, you know, somebody else in your family. And first of all, they can then share in on your stuff, but it also helps them build their own credit history and helps them build, you know, sort of a better financial. I guess there are all sorts of ways this could you know, be both good for companies to do and bad for companies to do. Let's circle back, though, to the very first thing. This feels uncool on the part of Netflix, but it's totally fair, right?
Right. I think they're going about this as amiably as they possibly can. I think they're obviously a lot of people are still in an uproar over it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I can't help but side with Netflix at least a little bit. It is their service. It is their way of making money. So naturally, I can't really blame them for wanting to make more money from the people that are using their service. It seems pretty fair.
Yeah, that would be like if you could share every app you bought from the App Store or, well, I mean, we could do, you know, it'd be like sharing at the salad bar. That's uncool. They will actually kick you out of a restaurant for sharing at the salad bar. Everybody has to pay for the salad bar or those all-you-can-eat sushi places. And now I'm, like, really hungry. Hey, we're going to take a trip to the Phantom Zone in just a moment. That's what I call TV these days. First, though, a word from today's sponsor, ZocDoc. There's a certain romance around throwing a dart at a map and just going. Seeing a movie you've never heard anything about. Reading a book just based on the cover. You can be random with your pastimes, but do you really want to be random with your doctor? If not, there's ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. With ZocDoc, you can find the right doctor for you, in your network, and in your neighborhood. They've got specialists for every specialty, whether you're trying to straighten your teeth, fix an achy back, whatever the issue, ZocDoc has you covered. ZocDoc's mobile app is as easy as ordering a ride to a restaurant or getting delivery to your house. So what are you waiting for? Go to ZocDoc.com. zocdoc.com/TDO and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's zocdoc.com/TDO, zocdoc.com/TDO. Nick DeCorville is with us today. He is rounding out the week with us on a sort of a lighter note, I think. He's a writer, by the way, over at the Mac Observer, in case you don't know. Since we started off talking about, you know, half the movies you can watch in the world and half the TV shows you can watch in the world with Netflix, I thought we would end the day focusing on Apple TV Plus, specifically TV Party Tonight. No Fridays is not on. No Hill Street Blues is not on. No Monday Night Football. It's Friday, for crying out loud. But what Nick and I are going to do, we're going to pick out three titles on Apple TV Plus that we think you should watch and tell you why. Now, this is like if you could only watch three things on Apple TV Plus. I have no idea what's on Nick's list. Nick has no idea what's on mine. What's first on your list, Nick?
Ooh, so for me, I actually just started it last week, but I'm going to go with my number one for this week as Mythic Quest.
Ooh, okay.
Mine's all comedy. When it comes to television or media, I love a good comedy. Love to have a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So I put off watching this show for the longest time. And then I believe talking with our editor, Jeff Butts, a conversation we had got me into watching. And so far, I'm hooked. I cleared the first season last week. I just started season two this week. And so far, my favorite thing about it is that it seems like a more not normal version of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but a version of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia that takes heart and human nature into the situation as well. The show's gotten a ton of laughs out of me. Charlotte Nickdow as Poppy, and apologies if I mispronounced her name, but Poppy is a fantastic character on the show. She's probably the one that's made me laugh the hardest.
Yeah.
So for those that find It's Always Sunny a little bit too crass or perhaps even controversial, I would highly recommend Mythic Quest because it keeps a lot of the humor of It's Always Sunny, but it gets rid of a lot of the more crass humor and adds in character arcs and emotion and story. So highly, highly recommend. Their COVID episode in particular, I think they did a great job.
Yeah, for people who don't know, by the way, because the reason Nick keeps bringing up It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is because the co-creator of that show and one of the stars, Rob McElhenney, is also the co-creator and star, or one of the stars, of Mythic Quest, Raven's Banquet. Mythic Quest. First season was Raven's Banquet. In fact, you mentioned the COVID episode. I've heard him talk before, well, an interview that I read. They knew they wanted to do something around COVID, but they were like, yeah, that group from It's Always Sunny is not the group to do this. And so they did Mythic Quest. And it's kind of hard to put yourself back in that time, but that, I want to say that came out maybe a month, maybe 2 months after the initial March 2020 lockdown. And it was just, that episode was a gut punch. Really quickly, yeah. What's your second title?
So second, I'm going to go with Physical. The great tribute to the 80s. Rose Byrne as Sheila Rubin. I fell in love with her character. Her dynamic with Rory Scovel, who plays Danny Rubin. If you're not familiar with Rory Scovel, I would highly recommend checking out some of his stand-up comedy. He currently has two albums. Go with the one he recorded in 2010. Just a hilarious individual, probably one of my favorite comedians still working. But between their dynamic, it's almost like Scarface set in the world of aerobics home recording, like trying to get the aerobic empire.
Yeah,
and seeing Sheila not only sell out her own values or compromise or
hey, spoiler.
Oh,
Sorry, I haven't watched it yet, so I don't know. I didn't know she sold out her values. What's the what's third on your list, sir?
Since it just announced that it was beginning filming today, I am going with Severance. However, I am going with a warning on Severance, as I would wait. While I think it is a must watch, it's absolutely a must watch in my opinion. It's fantastic with the comedy and the suspense. The season one finale ends on such a cliffhanger that if you haven't seen it yet, I would really just encourage just waiting till the second season comes out.
Yeah, I would actually say go ahead and watch it and just watch it again. Just know that you're going to spend a lot of time wondering what the heck's going to happen to whom.
That's season finale absolutely has to be one of the most infuriating cliffhangers I've ever witnessed. So it's great news to hear that they are filming season two, because it will be great to get that closure. There's nothing worse than a series that ends on a cliffhanger and then they don't get to resolve it.
Oh, man, that was Caprica for me. Drove me crazy. Ooh. Let me really quickly go through my list. I'm going to be a tiny bit shorter. What's funny to me is you and I do not cross on any of those. I haven't seen Physical yet. I do love Mythic Quest, and I'm tempted to put Mythic Quest on my list. Kind of forgot about it when I was putting the list together, but I was going for three sort of different feels entirely. So the first one, and this is in no particular order. That's not true. The first one is Ted Lasso. You have to watch Ted Lasso, because Ted Lasso is a bunch of like flawed people trying to do their best, coming together in the best moments and in the best ways. Nobody is perfect in that show. And the characters who in season one you think are perfect, you suddenly find out that's not, either they're flawed or they're actually, literally troubled. It's tough to say. So Ted Lasso is almost a given. Like, I almost feel like neither of us should put it on our list, but since you didn't, I'll go ahead. Second one I suggest.
Yeah, it was between Severance and Ted Lasso for me. It was a toss-up. Ultimately, I went with Severance.
Yeah, there you go. Second one for me is Foundation, just because it shows Apple's ability and willingness to spend big, to design beautifully, and there's a bunch of philosophical stuff that comes up in it as well. I can't even really think of how to describe it to people. It's epic. It's world-building. It's not exactly like the Isaac Asimov novels, but it's fascinating. I'm very much looking forward to the second season. I don't think we've heard when that's going to hit, although I do know it was in production a few months ago, so hopefully coming soon. But either way, it doesn't end on a cliffhanger the way Severance does. It does end with you wondering, wow, what's going to happen next? But you can be, wow, what's going to happen next, not, oh my goodness, what's going to happen next? It's a subtle distinction, but I think you get it. And the third one is not for kids. I believe it's an R-rated film, but the documentary for the Velvet Underground.
Ooh.
That actually, and it's going to sound like an overstatement, but that actually literally changed my life for a few months, because there was something I saw in that made me go to work on an art project that I worked on from November of last year until February of this year. And it wasn't huge. It wasn't great. It was time consuming. And it was very much driven by that. The thing is, I'm only sort of a Velvet Underground fan. But if you're a fan of filmmaking, the way this thing is put together, the way this thing looks, is just beautiful. To the point that, those bars you go to where they have the TV on, but the sound's turned down because they're just showing trippy visuals. This could be that this could show in the background in one of those places. I haven't heard enough people talk about it, and I can't recommend it enough. Again, not for kids, but if you have even a passing interest in Andy Warhol, Lou Reed, Velvet Underground in general, or filmmaking, documentary filmmaking especially, I can't recommend that enough. So there is your TV party tonight, and maybe, I don't know, I think we probably gave you stuff for a few nights there. If you've got your own recommendations or any questions you want to ask us, observations@macobserver.com would be an excellent email to use. observations@macobserver.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter. We are @TMO Daily on Twitter. If you want to follow me online, I am at macOSKen on Twitter, or you can visit my website, macOSKen.com. I know if people want to read your writing, Nick, they can go over to macobserver.com. Do you want to give out your email address again?
Yes, yes. Anybody wants to reach me, nick@macobserver.com.
Advertising handled by Backbeat Media, online at backbeatmedia.com. The Daily Observations is a production of the Mac Observer. From the latest news to product reviews, your source for Apple News is macobserver.com.